Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Let's just jump right in to a topic that I think is appropriate for Mother's Day. It's about bravery. And this past week, Marcus and I got to spend some time in the Dominican Republic. We went on vacation, and I was really, really excited. I haven't been that excited for a trip in a while. I mean, but come on, Dominican Republic, all-inclusive resort, you know, Caribbean, white sands. I was so excited. And but before I left, I was told by a few law enforcement friends that I should definitely not leave the resort. And apparently, Punta Cana is where we were at, but apparently the Dominican, just in general, is not the safest place. In fact, it is known to be the largest drug trafficking place to the United States. So there's that. But I was still really, really excited, and it did instill a tiny bit of fear when they're like, whatever you do, don't leave the resort. I'm like, okay. But I grabbed my flip-flops and my hat and my vacation spirit, and I was really ready to go. And then when we arrived, the very first night that we were there happened to be my sister-in-law's birthday. Her name's Lindsay, and she happened to be on the trip, too. Fancy that. Happy birthday to her. And so the very first night, we reserved a table for, like, 10 of us at the finest dining that there was on me. It's all-inclusive. I got this tab. And so we gathered, and we were sitting around eating, I want to say good food, but let me just be honest. Dominican Republic was not known for its food. White sandy beaches, maybe food, not so great. But we were still hopeful, and we gathered around some decent food, but really great conversation, and just a celebration spirit in honor of us all being there, having a great time, and then, of course, Lindsay's birthday, when all of a sudden, the lights go out. And it is completely dark in the restaurant, and it's night. We had, like, a late reservation, so it is, like, pitch black, and, of course, immediately some people scream just because that kind of darkness will startle you, and then silence. In particular, my silence is because my screams were deafened by the thought of armed men with masks over their faces and very large guns coming in to take me, and I'm going to be on the next episode of Locked Up Abroad. This is the things that I'm thinking, and the lights are out. And then all of a sudden, one brave soul begins to go, happy birthday to you, and it pierced the darkness. Suddenly, the lights went back on. It was not a plan for Lindsay's birthday, but it did, like, pierce the darkness a little bit. Apparently, part of the Dominican was that electricity's not as great either. That was the first time it happened. It was not the last time for it to happen to us on that trip. But in that darkness, for just a moment, it was really scary. It was just really scary. Darkness does that. When the lights go out in our life, so to speak, it can make you feel very uncertain. And you're not so sure if the ground you're standing on is all that firm. And it can get really, really shaky. You don't have to look too far in your world. Some of you probably don't even have to go outside of your own front door to sense the darkness that's just prevalent in our lives today. The hard things, the struggles, the challenges, the difficulties, the big stuff that we face, it can be dark. And that's true of our world today, but it's also very true in the biblical times. In fact, there were so many dark days in the Bible that God always sent someone to help navigate the people through it. There is actually a biblical hall of fame with heroes of the faith listed, and they have a lot of wisdom to offer us as we navigate through our own difficult times. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 12. This is where that hall of faith is, and I want to read this. It says, therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There is a cloud of witnesses, men and women of great faith that navigated the dark times of the Bible with tremendous hope that found victory. And we're going to look to one of them today to speak to us as we navigate our dark times. Today, we're going to look at the book of Judges. And Joshua is right before that book. And Joshua is a person also, but it is the book of the Bible. And he actually led the people of God through very difficult things, all the way, though, into promise, into victory. And at the end of that book, toward the end, those people of God said, "We will thank you so much. We will never forsake you, God. We are yours forever. We will serve you the rest of our days." But then Joshua died. And Joshua had led the people up to that point, and then when he passed, Israel, those people, went back on their promises. And then we move into Judges, where we're going to camp out for a little bit this morning. And I want to point you to Judges chapter 2. If you have your outlines, you can grab that. If you're taking notes on the app, go ahead and pull up the notes tab. But Judges chapter 2 says, "After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember that the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, and they served the images of Baal." Baal is basically them worshiping idols. Baal was idols. They stopped following God, and they were worshiping a whole lot of other things that were nothing like God. And what this did is it made them extremely easy prey for the enemy. When we're not worshiping God, when we're looking to everything else, it makes us really easy prey for the enemy. It gets real dark real fast. Evil and chaos begin to rule. And so this was really dark times for Israel. So God, in his goodness and in his faithfulness, he raised up judges to try to lead the people. God never stops trying to throw us a lifeline. And in this time, in this book, he raises up judges. And one of them was a woman named Deborah. I felt it was appropriate on Mother's Day to talk a little bit about the way that God so often uses women. And so God used Deborah. In Judges chapter 4, it notes her and who she was. And it says, "Deborah is the wife of Lapidoth. She was a prophet who was judging Israel at that time." So I want to look today to hear what Deborah would have to say to us. I don't know what is your darkness right now. I don't know the decisions that you face. I know mine. I don't know yours. I don't know the fear in silence that you are experiencing. I don't know the shaky ground that you feel like you're standing on. But God does. And he sent Deborah to the people of Israel. And we are going to let her speak into us, because what he did for them, he will do for us. And he sent this woman of God into the darkness to deliver and steer them into reconciliation with God. So let's take a little note of the lessons from the life of Deborah. The first thing I want to note, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down right now, is that encouragement makes all the difference. At one point in the story, Deborah contacted a man named Barak. He was actually the commander of the army at the time, but he was a little bit intimidated by what he was about to face. His forces were a whole lot smaller than the enemy's, and he felt ill-equipped. Are you ever intimidated by what you're facing? Do you feel a little ill-equipped? What the enemy forces seem so big and so brave, and you feel so small and so not? He didn't think that he had a chance. And he actually said, "No, I can't go. I can't do this. I can't." But Deborah urged him. She went to him and encouraged him and said, "It's time. It's time. God will give us the victory." And in Judges chapter 4, the scriptures tell us that Barak told her, "I will go, but only if you go with me." Then Deborah said to Barak, "Get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you." So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor into battle. Her encouragement to him made all of the difference. Listen, we're surrounded by negativity. Have you ever failed? Are you aware that you failed? Right? So we don't need someone to point that out. We need some encouragement. My son Brody plays baseball, and he's actually a pretty good ball player, and fielding is his strength. It is very common for Brody to get the game ball because he has somehow saved the game by some amazing play at second or some awesome catch out in the field. Brody is really strong at fielding. At bat, makes his mom sweat a little bit in the stands. Yep, so, but I want to tell you something that I just admire so much about Brody. When he strikes out, which he does, he always goes out swinging. Always, he goes out swinging. And his perspective blows my mind every single time. This is what Brody will say to me without fail after every game. "Hey, Mom, did you see me at bat? I almost got a hit. Dad, did you catch that at the bottom of the second? I almost got a hit." Does Brody know he struck out? Of course he does. Does he need me to go, "No, you didn't, kid. You struck out"? No. He needs encouragement because the reality is he almost did get a hit. To get a hit, go out swinging. You're one step closer to making contact with the ball and hitting it way out of the park. That's the kind of culture that I want us to create here at Center Church. It's a culture of encouragement that if someone takes one step, even if it's a baby step, you are one step in the right direction. You're that much closer to hitting a home run. We know that we fail, and we live in a world that is digging deep like buried treasures to find fault in each other. I would like for us to create a culture that says, "I think I see a little teeny flicker of gold in there. Let's go with that." Let's go with that, because encouragement will make all the difference. And I just want for a second, and I won't stay here long because it's just for the ladies, so guys, don't totally tune me out just for like 30 seconds, but there is an online video devotional starting tomorrow, and yeah, I created it, and that's not why I'm promoting it. I'm promoting it because I'm not the only one speaking on it. There's a lot of other really amazing women that are going to be speaking on this, but our culture, our self-talk, our past, our decisions, other people around us, women, they're really good at making us feel like we're not enough, that we're ill-equipped, that we can't. But that is absolutely, completely counter to what God has to say about you. God says you are more than enough. God says you are totally capable. You are fearfully and wonderfully. There's like, the list goes on, which is why I created this. So for the next 14 days, starting tomorrow, you can hear every single day for about 5 to 7 minutes. You can let some truth drop into your heart. Well, it'll drop here and hopefully seek into here so you can live who God says that you are. Not your negative self-talk, not your history, not your poor decisions. Those things don't define you. God defines you. Let God define you. So if you want to register for this, there's tables out there. We'll figure it out. But we want to get you registered because we need encouragement. That's what Deborah illustrated. Deborah's influence and encouragement is what led the people to victory. Together, Barak's army won. Yet, this is next. Yet, her name is not mentioned in the Great Hall of Faith. Deborah was not mentioned. I don't think that she cares, because Deborah was a powerful woman of God that says this: don't worry who gets the credit. Don't worry who gets the credit. They won. They won the battle. Victory was theirs. They were out of the darkness, into the light. Who cares who gets the credit? In Hebrews, it back to that big, like, hall of faith, says this: how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon and Barak. Barak's mentioned. He was the one that needed the encouragement. Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all of the prophets. Perhaps Perhaps we could put Deborah it lumped in with all those prophets, but her name was never mentioned in the great hall of faith, though she was one. The point is, who cares? Who cares? We cannot be the people that are worrying about who gets the credit. And I think that that is actually a pretty big deal and a pretty big area for us to grow in our culture today. Because it actually requires us to see a much bigger picture about life. That when we are encouragers and to get out of our dark times and to work through our hard things, that it's not for our personal gain or even our recognition. And I know we live in a social media world, it's extremely competitive, but to encourage each other and not worry about who is being elevated or noticed is what Deborah would say to you today. Don't worry about who gets elevated. Don't worry about who gets noticed. Just get the breakthrough, people. Just get the breakthrough. Life is not all about you. And to win and have victory in dark times, you will have to get over yourself. And for many of us in this room, to get the victory, to get through the struggle, to overcome the obstacle, you're going to have to get out of your own way. You're going to have to get out of your own way. It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't always matter what you want. It's not all about you. So I want you to turn to the person next to you right now, and I want you to tell them, you are amazing. Go ahead. Turn to the person next to you. You are amazing. Now turn to the other side, your second choice, right? Your second choice. Turn to the other side and say, you are okay too. You're pretty good too. But God needed Deborah. He needed Deborah to be bold and brave and not care who received the glory to lead the people out of dark times. He's counting on us to do the exact same. And here's what's next. We can boldly and bravely believe. We can boldly and bravely believe. When Barak told Deborah she needed to go with him, this was a lot out of her comfort zone. See, Deborah was a judge and a prophet. She was not a warrior princess. That wasn't what she did. She was a judge and a prophet. So going to battle with him was a lot out of her comfort zone. But she went. She did it anyway. And as a result, the children of Israel got to get the victory. Her bravery to do it anyway, even though it was likely extremely uncomfortable, it was not something she was skilled at, it wasn't something that she like had everything all figured out and felt so equipped to do, her bravery caused her to speak up and go. And just do it anyway. And in Proverbs 31, which I don't feel like we can have Mother's Day without at least acknowledging Proverbs 31, right? It's like the passage of scripture that's dedicated to all women in the room. But it says, to rise while it is still night. Bravery is getting up in the dark, going when things are shaky. God's looking for people to get up in the hard times. Don't shrink back in fear. Face the challenge. Face the challenge. You're not going to be able to go under it or around it. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to go through it. There is victory on the other side, but you will have to get up even when it's hard and face the challenge and be brave. And brave is way more than just a slogan on a cute t-shirt, guys. Brave is conviction. It's conviction. In Judges 5, verse 7, it says, there were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. She stood up. She was brave. She was bold. And she didn't just encourage from the sidelines. She didn't say, it's okay. You guys, go ahead. She joined the battle. She jumped in. She said, okay, I'll go. And here's the reason that I know Deborah could do this. And it's the same reason that we can. Because we don't go alone. We don't go by ourselves. And I'm not talking about because she had Barak and the army. I'm talking about making that decision for you right now in the dark, you don't go alone because of what Joshua says in Joshua 1:9. It says, haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage, don't be timid, don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. You can rise in the dark because you don't go alone. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what decision has to be made. I don't know what obstacle you need to overcome. I don't know what challenges is that feels like is taking you down, and you're like, but I want to take you down, but it doesn't feel that way. You don't have to go at it alone. God is with you. You might feel like you're alone, because that's what the darkness does. It isolates you and makes you feel like you're alone, but you're not. So don't be timid. Don't be afraid. Stand and go with bravery. Now, I think sometimes when we think about bravery, we think about these like, we think about Deborah, someone who goes in and like fights a big army and takes on a battle. And there are like global acts of bravery. Things like, and there's things that we do through Center Church here, like fighting for injustices, you know, worldwide with things like human trafficking or impoverished children, orphans around the world. Yes, those are brave things. But I want to tell you something. Bravery is required in the everyday as well. Standing up for your marriage and digging in hard times, that's brave. Are you in a rough patch in your marriage? If you've been married a few days, then you've probably been through a rough patch. Just kidding, babe. But bravery is not giving up. It's working through it. Bravery is saying no to that addiction. And it's going through the recovery process even again. Yes, another time. That's okay. That's brave. Bravery is loving the hard to love. That's brave. And as we know, sometimes the hard thing and the right thing are the same thing. So loving those who are not easy, who are very difficult, who might be causing your dark time, is brave. That's so brave. That's everyday bravery. It's forgiving. That's brave because forgiving is a decision. It's not a feeling. When someone hurts me, I feel like hurting them back. But forgiving is brave because it's a decision that I have to make. And not just in word only, but in the way that I treat them as well. Anyone else have a hard time keeping your mouth shut when it wants to just flap open and say all the things? But it's brave. It's brave to close your mouth and forgive. And it's possible. It's possible to live out this everyday bravery. Not because of who I am alone, not in my own strength. In my own strength, I quickly reach the end of ability and capacity. I can, and here is what's next. I can bravely believe because, number one, I know who I am. I know who I am. I am loved beyond measure. I am called. I am chosen. I am a daughter of the King. Men, you are a son of the Most High, and you are destined for great things. There are great things in store for the men in this place. There's more. There's more than what's just happening right now in your life as you sit. There's more because you are the son of the Most High. And these aren't platitudes. This is truth. God loved each of us so, so much. He loved you so much that he gave his son to come to this earth. I think most of us in this room, we know this, but we don't always live like we believe it. And he died on the cross for our brokenness and our sin, and that is now the hope that he has given us to navigate our dark times. It's not that we don't have dark times. It's not that life isn't sometimes just an absolute pain. It's not that there isn't suffering. You might be sitting in suffering right this very minute. It's just that you don't have to be disheartened by that because we have a Savior that can take care of it, and we are his, and he is ours, and that is who we are. That's significant. We're significant. That's why every single year we host for the women in this place. And Marcus has some things coming up for the men in this place. But right now it's Mother's Day. So women, here we go. We have an event every single year. This year it's happening on June 1st. And it's called Significant for this very reason. He died for you. You matter. You matter. And so you can register. It's totally free, but we do need you to register because it's not happening at the church. It's happening at a venue that we rented out. It's going to be amazing. We have a guest speaker who's phenomenal, and you can register for free afterwards back there on the patio. And come, and don't come alone. Don't come alone, because have you ever doubted your worth? Have you ever felt like, man, have you ever felt like a fraud? If they only knew, if they really only knew. Have you ever questioned your ability? I think we all have. We all have. And that's what that event is for. That's what this is for, to remind you, one, of who you are, and two, that heaven is my home. Heaven is my home. This is why we can be brave. This is why I can be brave, because heaven is my home. Listen, I want to explain this to you a little bit. Many years ago, 14 years ago, long time ago, I became a mom. I had my first Mother's Day, and I had my first daughter, and in those moments, that is when my perspective on this life really shifted to an eternal perspective. And here's why. I needed more. I needed to know that this was not it, because on that day, and honestly in a pretty dark season that ended up being about a year or so to come, life for me, I don't have a better word to say than it just kind of sucked. And I was like, there's got to be more than just this. Because unexpected diagnosis and trauma, it sent me into a season of tremendous pain. Disappointment shattered my faith and really caused a lot of questions for me. But through that pain, I found hope. A hope that promised me there is more to this life than just this life. This ain't it, folks. This isn't what it's all about. Heaven is my home. In Philippians 3, it says that we are citizens of heaven. In Corinthians, we're described as ambassadors of Christ. As a follower of Jesus, if you're in this room and you are a follower of Jesus today, you're just here on an assignment. So stop getting so caught up in the everyday ick, because you're just here on assignment. This isn't your home. And that cultivates in me a great bravery to step out into the dark things, to face the hard things with tremendous courage, because I'm just here on assignment. My job is to represent the heart of God and fulfill His mission. This world, it's temporary. It's temporary. Heaven's my home, which means that this is the amazing thing about the hard thing you face. All of God's resources, including His army, are at your disposal. So whatever you're facing, you got God and His army at your back. He's on your six. You're not going to lose. You're going to defeat whatever is in front of you. We are here simply to carry out the King's orders. I'm not brave because of my name. You're not brave because of your name. We're brave because of His name. His name. We are here in His full support. This is what Deborah knew. This is what Deborah knew. And she's telling us that you can fight this battle. You are on God's great mission. There's more to this life than just this life. It's not all about this little, I know, I'm not trying to minimize, because trust me, I understand what feels like big. I understand things that detonate your faith. But I want to encourage you, this is not your home. And number three, God is up to something good. He is up to something good. In Romans chapter 8, says that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Another translation says that God works all things together for our good. Now, I want to take you back just a little bit, because I think the majority of you in this room have absolutely no idea the chaos that was my life just 10 years ago. I was living the hashtag mom life to its fullest. And those were some harder momming days for me when my kids were little and I was in a stage of little. But I will tell you, those harder mom days, they really did show me truth of some passages like this one in such a tangible way that I am forever changed by it. So I want to take you back to 2008, and it was a Thursday night. It was 10 years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. It was like a pretty typical night in our home. We had three kids at that time. Piper was not born yet. I was probably pregnant because I was mostly always pregnant in that decade. And we had three kids under the age of four. And Marcus was a worship pastor at that time. And he was out at an evening band rehearsal that they had on Thursday nights. And so as typical, you moms are going to relate to this, the piles of laundry were like completely overflowing. And we had a laundry room upstairs and it was like flowing out into the hallway. And so I kind of wanted to tackle it. The kids had eaten, they'd been bathed, and I was just counting down the minutes till bedtime because that's what I did. And it seemed like every 15-minute increments is like, really, it's been 15 minutes. So I was just like counting down, thought, you know what? Everyone's taken care of. I'm going to go ahead and leave them downstairs, and I'll put the little gate on so that they can't kill themselves coming up and down the stairs, and I'm going to go upstairs, and I'm going to take care of this laundry. They'll be fine. I put some toys out. They'll be fine. And so, sure enough, I go upstairs and I begin to do the laundry. And as I folded the clothes upstairs, I began to smile as I could hear chuckles from my toddlers down the stairs. And I thought to myself, wow, what great kids I've got. They are down there playing so good together, and I'm up here just getting it. I'm crushing this. I'm a good mom. I've done a great job. This is clearly a reflection of how amazing I am. And then I came to my senses because it seemed a little too good to be true. And that moment of panic set in when I thought, no bickering, no whining, no crying. Someone's dead. Someone died. And so I quickly ran down the stairs to discover this. My sweet angels had gotten into the Costco-sized jar of peanut butter, and these little darling girls decided to finger paint their baby brother in butter. Lots and lots of butter. I'd run down those stairs to discover that my kids were up to something, for sure, but it wasn't good. And that right there took me about an hour-ish, and draining and refilling the tub a lot of times, because what is represented there is about 64 ounces of oil. Lots of oil that would not come off. And that was a cute outfit that had to be tossed that Tatum's wearing. But oh well. But have you ever run down the stairs of your life to discover it's all messed up? To get down to the bottom and go, whoa, how did this happen when I wasn't looking? What is God up to? Or maybe you're like me and you've had moments that you thought, God just let your life go. He's not paying any attention at all. But unlike me with my kids that night, nothing escapes God's view of his children. And you are a child of God, and nothing that you are going through or that you do or that you are experiencing escapes his view. In 2 Chronicles, and this is not in your notes, but it's in chapter 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God is up to something. And like the scripture says, he is up to something good to strengthen those who are following him. He sees you in your heartache and in your loss. He sees you in your crisis and in your pain. He sees your life around the corner and the bigger picture of it all, and he is working it all out for your good. How? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how he does it, but he does work it all out for the good. I don't know how a seed becomes a tree. I don't know how he put the stars in the sky. I don't know how my heart beats in his chest. I don't know the way a man thinks. I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is that these messy moments in our life, they are not the end of your story. because he's working it all together for your good if you will put your faith in him and let him do that good and perfect work, because that is what God can do. But my words don't provide real relief. You have to actually believe this. You have to receive this and believe it, and that doesn't minimize your pain or suggest that it's not real. It's just simply saying that in these messy moments, when we endure, when we trust, when we stand, when we believe, though it may not be glamorous, he is working it all out for your good. That is what Deborah did. That's exactly what Deborah did in that dark season for Israel. And remember, God gave us judges, the book of Judges in the Bible. He gave us these words from the people of faith, not to just reassure history, but he gave them to us to ensure our faith, to encourage us that we can believe it because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So Deborah's words are to encourage you to take faith, and faith is actually the evidence of what is to come. So don't give up. He sees you. There's more coming. Breakthrough will happen because of number four. God has a divine plan for my life. God has a divine plan for my life. Romans goes on to say this. It says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original intended shape of our lives there in him. He wants to make us like Jesus. Listen, the darkness in this life, it does not come from God. Cancer, God doesn't have it to give. The kind of brokenness and pain and that doesn't come from God. He doesn't have that to give. Jesus sets people free. That's what Jesus does. So when we're submitted to him, he will use it. He will use it to shape us, to work for our good, to make us more like him, because that's who he is, and that was his plan from the very beginning. His intentions for you are just to be more like him, which is awesome. That's a person who is whole. That's a person who is forgiven. That's a person who is free. And sometimes in life, it's the challenges that bring us to a place that we're actually finally really ready and willing to accept that. When we get to the end of our rope is when we will often accept that, and challenge and pain and difficulty, nothing will drive you to the end of your rope quite like that. When we'll stop doing it on our own. Stop trying to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to logistically make it all work out. Stop doing it on your own. That's what happened to me just about a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago. I quit. My job, my marriage, this church, my mothering, all of it. I literally turned to Marcus and I said, I quit. On the white sands of Costa Rica, I quit. Yeah, in a beautiful paradise when everything around me, I quit. I absolutely quit. And God met me there. And I'm not going to go into all of the gory details of it. I had a counselor for that. But I had just come to the end of my own. And you know what God said to me? He said, thanks, Jen. Thank you. Now I got this. It's what he wanted from me all along. Because he knows what to do, and he knows how to do it. I don't. Much as I like to think I do, I don't, and neither do you. His plan is divine. His path brings life. And I want to tell you, since I quit, this past year has been one of the most remarkable years of my life to date. In my job, in my marriage, in my mothering, and even in this church. Remarkable. But I quit, and that's okay. Because fruit doesn't grow on mountains. Fruit grows in valleys. That's where fruit grows, is in really tough stuff. So if that's you today, I get it. I get it. Even more, God does. And his desire is to use all of us for this, for the good of making you more like him. Divinely designing you into the person that he can use. And that is so, so very brave. So very brave. So I don't know what your next right steps might be. We have a little orange card for that, and I want you to think about it. But I know that this place, the desire of this place is that it be a culture of encouragement, a place where you could take one baby, brave, bold step, a place that you can quit, and we'll say, one step closer to a home run. A place that it doesn't matter who gets elevated or lifted up, it doesn't matter, it's not about who gets the credit. It's about knowing who we are in Christ, remembering that heaven is not our home, trusting that no matter what we are facing, God is up to something so good because he has a divine plan for each of every one of us sitting in these seats today. Will you pray with me? God, I know there's a lot going on in these seats. There's a lot going on in these homes and in these hearts, these minds, and these and the kids that are represented in here, and the marriages, and the jobs, and the bank accounts. The world's just dark. It can be hard. You said that. You said that in this world we would have trouble. But to take heart, to have faith, to trust, because you have overcome the world. You have overcome it. So we don't have to be disheartened. Doesn't mean we don't feel it, doesn't mean we don't experience it, but we do not have to be disheartened by it because we have a hope that you have overcome, and because you can and you have, we will. We will. So I pray that there would be a bravery that rises up, a conviction in each of us to stand in the midst of our darkness, to not do it on our own strength, to not say, oh, we got this, but quite the opposite, say, we need you. We need you. Because that is when the battle is won. We don't have to figure it all out. You see the big picture. You're working it all together for our good. And I pray that you would do that for the lives, and the situations, and circumstances that are represented here tonight, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity. Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.